Death is the one certainty we all share, yet it remains the most mysterious aspect of human existence. We know intellectually that we will die, but try for a moment to truly imagine your own non-existence. Can you? Most likely, you're still there in your imagination, perhaps floating above your funeral, watching loved ones grieve, somehow still observing. This strange inability to conceive of our own absence creates what we might call the mortality paradox. We're certain death will come, yet we cannot personally experience non-being in our consciousness. This cognitive glitch may be evolutionary self-protection, allowing us to function despite knowing our days are numbered. But it also drives humanity's most persistent quest, the search for immortality. From ancient religious promises of paradise to cutting-edge scientific projects aimed at defeating death itself, we've never stopped trying to escape our mortal fate. Humanity has developed four distinct strategies for dealing with mortality, each attempting to resolve the paradox in its own way. The first is staying alive, the straightforward approach of extending life indefinitely through medical breakthroughs, supplements, and future technologies. The second is resurrection, the belief that we'll rise again physically after death. The third is the soul narrative, which proposes that our consciousness continues as a spiritual entity separate from the body. The fourth is legacy, the idea that we live on through our children, achievements, or the memories others hold of us. The question is whether any of these paths, spiritual or technological, can deliver on their promises, or whether accepting our finite nature might be the key to living meaningfully. Each immortality path faces fundamental barriers. Staying alive confronts entropy, our bodies inevitably decay. Resurrection raises a troubling question. If you're recreated atom by atom, is that really you or just a copy? The soul concept struggles against neuroscience, showing consciousness requires a functioning brain. Damage to the fusiform gyrus causes face blindness. Prefrontal cortex injuries lead to impulsive behavior. If mind and brain were separate, why would physical damage affect mental functions so precisely? Legacy offers the most realistic immortality, yet it's symbolic. You live on in memories, but your subjective experience ends. Remarkably, confronting death brings clarity. Analysis of Texas death row inmates' final statements showed 68.2% expressed love for family, while 42.3% sought forgiveness. Rather than terror, facing mortality stripped away superficial concerns and revealed core values: connection, love, and meaning. Death awareness illuminates what truly matters in life. Religious conceptions of heaven have continuously adapted alongside scientific understanding. The Hebrew Shemayim originally meant a physical dome, later incorporating Greek celestial spheres. Christianity introduced personal salvation through resurrection, though debate persists whether bodies or souls survive. In 1999, Pope John Paul II redefined heaven as a living, personal relationship with the Holy Trinity rather than a physical location, though many Protestants rejected this. Islamic paradise features gardens with flowing water, milk, wine, and honey, reflecting earthly desires and cultural contexts. A 2008 Pew survey found most Christians now believe many religions lead to eternal life, a dramatic shift from exclusive salvation doctrines. Most people are intuitive dualists. We say, "my body aches," rather than "I ache," implying separation. Spiritual teachers like Deepak Chopra argue consciousness produces matter, comparing the brain to a television receiving consciousness signals. This metaphor collapses under neuroscientific scrutiny. Thousands of studies prove minds reside in brains. When brain regions are damaged, corresponding mental capacities vanish. Stroke victims with damaged visual cortex develop blind spots. Hippocampal damage prevents forming new memories. Near-death experiences, out-of-body sensations, tunnel vision, bright light are often cited as evidence for consciousness surviving without the brain. But people experiencing NDEs aren't actually dead, they're near-death. Air Force studies of pilots experiencing G-force-induced loss of consciousness revealed remarkably similar phenomena: tunnel vision, bright light, floating sensations, and euphoria. these pilots weren't dying. They were experiencing temporary oxygen deprivation in controlled conditions. The similarity points to a neurological rather than supernatural explanation. Consider this thought experiment. You die in an accident, but a cloning company creates a perfect replica using your stored DNA and backed-up consciousness. Now imagine you hadn't actually died, but had been in a coma. You return home to find your spouse living with this replica. The philosophical distinction becomes starkly clear. The replica, despite identical memories and appearance, is you 2.0, not a continuation of your consciousness. Identity consists of three components: pattern, arrangement of attributes, material, physical substance, and point of view, subjective experience. Our bodies replace their atoms every 7 to 10 years, yet we maintain continuous self-awareness. Death fundamentally interrupts this continuity of consciousness. Late 20th century movements, cryonicists, transhumanists, singularitarians, promise technological immortality through speculative science. Cryonics uses vitrification to preserve bodies at minus 196 C, preventing ice crystal formation that destroys synaptic structures storing memories. Fewer than 500 people worldwide are currently suspended. Leading neuroscientists remain skeptical. The critical problem is warming. Dr. Mehmet Toner at Harvard notes that while we can vitrify small samples successfully, thawing large organs inevitably forms ice crystals that shatter delicate neural networks, a seemingly insurmountable barrier. Ray Kurzweil predicts that by the 2030s, nanobots will interface biological brains with cloud-based synthetic neocortices, exponentially expanding intelligence while reversing aging. He takes 250 daily supplements to survive until this technological rapture around 2040. The fundamental question persists: does preserving memories and personality preserve subjective consciousness? If your connectome were uploaded to a computer, would your personal perspective transfer, or would a new consciousness emerge that merely thinks it's you? Physicist Frank Tipler calculated that resurrecting everyone who ever lived would require 10 to the 10 to the 123 bits, exceeding a Googleplexus. Yet even this couldn't capture the entire universe and history shaping each individual. Every person is the product not just of memories, but of countless interactions with environment, others, and cosmos, determining whether these technologies offer genuine immortality or merely create sophisticated copies. Despite unprecedented progress in health, wealth, and technology, most people believe the world is deteriorating. A 2015 YouGov poll found 71% thought things were getting worse, with only 5% seeing improvement. This perception gap stems from cognitive distortions. We focus on relative inequality rather than absolute gains, engage in zero-sum thinking where one person's success feels like our loss, and give disproportionate attention to negative news. Media amplifies this because catastrophes generate more clicks than gradual improvements. Our pessimistic bias exists for evolutionary reasons. Progress occurs incrementally through better crops and improved medicines, while catastrophic regress can happen in a single catalastic event. This longing for better times isn't new. Ancient Greeks believed they lived in the inferior age of iron, preceded by superior ages of gold, silver, and bronze. Every culture has its golden age myth, always located safely in the past where it can't be verified. Most catastrophic were 20th century utopian experiments. Soviet Russia, fascist Italy, and Nazi Germany killed tens of millions pursuing perfection. As Barry Goldwater noted, those seeking absolute power are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth. The communities that truly succeed embrace what futurist Kevin Kelly calls protopian progress, incremental improvements rather than revolutionary perfection. Our existence represents just 0.0000073% of the universe's lifespan, yet this cosmic insignificance need not diminish our significance to ourselves and each other. When long-distance swimmer Diana Nyad told Oprah she was an atheist who could weep with the beauty of this universe, Oprah responded, "I don't call you an atheist then," revealing an inability to conceive of awe without supernatural belief. Science shows your soul is the pattern of information representing your body and brain, inseparable from your physical form. The disposable soma theory explains why we age. Evolution prioritizes offspring over maintaining bodies past reproductive years. Research reveals mortality awareness actually improves our lives. Death awareness leads people to devalue extrinsic goals like fame and wealth, while emphasizing intrinsic values like relationships and family. Heaven isn't above us, but around us. We create our own purpose by fulfilling our nature and being true to ourselves. The mortality that once seemed like life's greatest tragedy becomes its greatest gift, the urgency that drives us to create, connect, and contribute while we can. Face death with courage and honesty, and you'll discover what truly matters: gratitude for this brief existence and love, the soul of life and our heaven on earth.